Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cole. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hey, I called in because I worked on the offshore rig and in Antarctica, but I also have a water story if you're interested in
Wait. You worked on an oil rig and you worked in Antarctica?
Correct.
Which one was the worst experience?
The oil rig, by far.
All right, that's what I thought.
Is that based on the weather or what? Just the isolation? I mean, Antarctica.
Antarctica was all right. It was pretty fun. About 5 months, and it was during their summer. So it wasn't, it was below zero, but it wasn't, like, so cold you couldn't go outside.
Are there any animals there at all? Like
other
penguins?
Than penguins?
Yeah, I mean, is there anything that you can see?
Yeah, penguins and leopard seals, and when the icebreaker came in, there were some orcas that followed it in.
Okay.
That's about it. Everything's black and white. There's no other colors down there.
Were you at an American station or were you at an international station?
I was at McMurdo. Yeah, the biggest American station.
Did you guys ever have movie night and watch The Thing?
Yeah. Actually, we did.
I can believe that.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
How's Antarctica food?
No, I was a cook there, so I'd have to say it was pretty darn good.
Okay.
All right.
That's good. That's good to know.
And how long, when you're on an oil rig, how long is your contract to be stuck on there for any one time?
It's usually 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
All right. It's not so bad.
How many sharks can you see swimming under that thing when you have the lights on at night?
I didn't see any sharks. It was up in Alaska.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you just go to cold places? Is that your day? Like, hey, I'll do this, but it has to be freezing cold.
Is it frigid?
Is it inhumane?
Yeah, that's why I love Washington so much. I can handle this.
I bet you can. So what's your water story, man?
Well, about 2001, I was down in New Zealand with a good friend of mine, Luke. And we were just kind of backpacking around, and we ended up at the northernmost point of the North Island called Cape Reinga. And there's a big sign there that says, no food or drink beyond this point. It's a religious spot for the Maoris down there.
All right.
And we walked right past that sign. We didn't see it. We walked down there, and we jumped in the water, and we went swimming, which we're not supposed to do, and we camped out, which we're not supposed to do, but we ran out of water. And we didn't have any water with us for the whole night and into the next day. And it was hot and sandy and brutal. The hiking out of there with no water was awful. And we got back, we had to wait because we were hitchhiking. We had to wait for people to show up and take their pictures and then take us out of there. But when we got back to the first town, the first ride we got was a Maori guy who took us to the Maori school there and fed us and gave us water. And every ride we got for the rest of, like, the next 3 days were all Maoris. And they all went way out of their way to help us. And I don't know. I can't explain it. It was chilling just how we inadvertently were respectful of their religious area. And they seemed like their people just knew it and just took good care of us. It was pretty cool.
Did you admit to going down there? Did you tell them you didn't see the sign or just keep your mouth shut?
I didn't tell them a damn thing.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, sorry.
That's why they were being respectful.
But could you see the sign when you were walking back?
Yeah, we had plenty of time to hang out there and wait.
Okay.
We ran everything. Yep, saw that. Like, whoops.
Okay.
So, based on your experiences between Alaska, Antarctica, Maori mountains, and all that, what's the coolest place you've been, or what's a place you'd like to go back to?
Oh man, I don't know. New Zealand was amazing. I recommend that to anybody. The people are amazing. The country is beautiful. I've been a lot of places, but
see,
I'm in Washington now, so I guess this is it.
I would feel like I accidentally put a curse on myself or something.
What are you talking about?
You know what I mean? If I went into a native land and did all the things I wasn't supposed to
you
do.
You accidentally put a curse on yourself.
Yeah, because I did not follow the rules.
Disrespected it.
You're not putting it on you. They are. So just rest assured.
I understand that, but because of my stupidity.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I put myself in a situation where now bad things could possibly happen to me. Right. Like a bottle of water would fall from the sky and knock
and
me
hit you in the head. Yeah.
Or something like that.
There is your water.
You're not wrong.
I drowned at dinner drinking, you know, table water. Somehow water's going to come back to haunt me.
That thing, I will
just
say,
saying.
As far as that kind of thing goes, you know, you try to be respectful. There's no doubt about that. That's just, well, a matter of being respectful. But, man, when I was in New Orleans, like, some of the voodoo folks down there.
That's what I'm saying. Same level like, of, oh, no.
They bugged me, man. Like, you know, anyone else are like, look, there's some just general rules that you follow and everything's good. No problem, right? You go to Hawaii, they're like, look, if you're going to go to this place, you know, be respectful of blank. Not a problem. New Orleans, there's this one little shop, and it looked like, you know, just some silly curiosity shop, like more souvenirs and crap. And when I walk in, I realize, okay, like people that are in the voodoo, like this is where they go to buy whatever it is you buy when you do voodoo. But even like the woman behind the counter just looking at me freaked me out. And they do a terrible sales pitch of everything because they make everything sound bad. Like literally you walk in, is there something I can help you with? Like... Dude, hey man, I'm just looking around. Like, I don't know if you'd be interested in that. I'm like, well, I'm not. It's just that I'm trying to be decent, basically, because I walked into your shop and I don't want to just walk in and walk out, right? So you're trying to act like you're interested. I don't know. It is creepy, man. And somehow, in spite of the fact that it is like high noon, it is bright as F outside. When you walk in there, it's like a movie theater when the movie's playing. It is dark. Don't touch anything. And on everything you
but
look
at. But it's
for
sale. You do not touch
it. It's for sale, and they swear it's, like, authentic. It was like a shrunken chicken. You're like, oh, man, that's kind of like, it's just real. Like,
it's a Cornish hen.
Yeah, like, I need to get out of here.
I just pictured walking in and be like, white boy, out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what? That's not a shrunken chicken. It's a Cornish hen. Don't try to pass that off.
Either that or, like, I walk in.
It's a squab.
And there's a voodoo doll. She's like, been waiting for you.
It looks like, just like you, doesn't it?
Like, how did you know?
It's the same clothes on.
I just bought this shirt.
Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-RON.
I'm telling you, it was...
That's what I'm saying.
Terrifying.
I would feel like I'd be cursed for two or three days.
See this doll? You're stuck in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, oh, for damn it. I should have never come down here.
I would say sleep with one eye open, but you don't need to.
You don't need any more beignets. All right, now that's just mean.
All right. Now I'm just being cruel.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Keith. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, amigos.
Hola.
So what? The question was when water failed me, right? And well, we spoke before. I don't know. Obviously, you speak to a million people a day, and I get it. But I was talking about my crazy girlfriend, Debbie, how she burnt my work truck down. And I don't know if I had mentioned this at the time, that she was, when I was on deployment and I came back home, she was kicked out of the property, out of the home, but the landlord left the place open for me because I kept sending money back to the States. And so one night at zero dark 30, I heard there's a beating on my window, and what the heck, you know? So I opened the blinds, and I could see there was a storage shed there, but suddenly it's orange, and it's normally white. So I don't know what's going on here. And I could hear, there's a fire, there's a fire. So I run to the front door, and yeah, there's a fire. Well, this woman was stealing gas out of my railroad pickup truck and using a lighter to check the height of the fuel in her plastic jerry can. And, well, it caught on fire and started my work truck on fire. Then the jerry can started melting and the fuel leaked over to my four-door Jeep wagon. and it caught it on fire. So now the flames are 20, 30, 40 feet in the air, and we're surrounded by pine trees because it's the Pacific Northwest. And she's running back and forth like a chicken with her head cut off. Like, oh my. I'm like, dial 911. So I run through the driver or passenger side of my railroad truck. And of course, the fire extinguisher is on the driver's side. And I pop the door and the flames are coming through. And I grab the fire extinguisher, close the door, come out, and it just goes. So I grab the garden hose and I run it over there. And we're on a well because we're out on 40 acres in Oregon. Well, yeah, Oregon. Anyways, turn the water on, and it failed me. The well was dry or down low or whatever. So I got to sit there and watch my career go down the toilet. And
Well, it couldn't go down the toilet because the toilet was dry.
Yeah.
You had no water.
Was your career in the shed?
No. The shed told me that there was a fire when the knucklehead was telling me there was a fire. But we were on a well, and the garden hose was from the hose.
Well, you said you watched your career go up in flames. I know I understand the shed and the truck, it's like you're going to lose your job.
It's a railroad truck, and she just burned it to the ground.
Okay, so it wasn't your truck.
No, but it was my Jeep, and it also burnt down.
Okay.
There was no tires. The whole body was completely rusted. You could see the springs where there used to be seats. Yeah. It was just
a Was that your ex-girlfriend again showing up?
Yeah. Remember, we spoke about her.
Like you said at the beginning of it, we get a million phone calls. It's kind of hard to remember all the stories individually.
But she's the one that burned his career to the ground.
I see.
So what do you do if you're the fire department and someone's on a well and their well is reasonably dry?
You watch everything go up in
flames. Do they have a backup water system or do they just have to watch the crap burn?
The truck might have some water. They might have some other stuff that's not water-based, but honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah.
It could just be, because
I'm just listening to them. Like, even if you call the fire department, what could they do if you don't have a water hookup for them? Like, keep blowing out it like birthday candles?
Good news. People are actually watching us on YouTube.
I know.
At KISW Rock, we're getting some views on that. And thank you for your comments as well, as we now are live streaming for your viewing pleasure on YouTube at KISW Rock.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.